I love it. Summer fun. Warm temperatures and now a bit of a break from the heat the next few days. And of course, Craven Country Thunder is the next big party of the summer. That's next weekend. This time, a week from now, the party will be on. If you want to go for free, I've got a pair of weekend passes and camping included. This is a prize package worth over $600 easily. And all you have to do is tell me your summer vacation plans. That's your entry, your first and last name, and text me 1-877-300-7275. Summer vacation plans. That's how you enter. And then after 8, randomly we'll select someone to win. Maureen said summer plans. Going to go explore Newfoundland and Lake Katepwa here in our province. Nice to hear. Rick said that he's going to be hopping on his bike and exploring the mountains as well, too. A lot of people staycationing because of, that whole 51st state thing and just wanting to avoid the U.S. One thing you can't avoid in Regina right now is the amount of Dutch elm disease. It's running rampant through our city here. 17 confirmed cases this year. City crews have had to haul out the dead ones. And I thought maybe we'd drill down a little more on Dutch elm disease, which is nothing new, but maybe there are some who just want a little more insight into what causes it, what can we do. So, hey, when you need information like that, you go to the Garden Talk host, Rick Van Dyvendyk, who's patiently waiting on the phone. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you for being here. What's your take on Dutch elm disease and the alarming rate that it seems to be, killing trees off here?
Yeah, that's one thing about it. When you got an urban forest that is made up of a lot of elm trees, when you have monoculture, like, which means you have all the same type of tree down a lot of streets, disease can move in. And the best way we can get rid of it, keep that at bay, is by keeping your trees healthy. Deep watering them at least once a month. Even those trees, Greg, that, we all like to move into part of the city that has all these big trees in them, but then we just water our lawn. But we've got to remember, when we get these hot spells, we got to water the trees, and that's different. You got to deep water them at least once a month.
Does fertilizing help too, Rick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fertilizing the trees. So even though you may just seem like they're not your trees, they are your trees. They're part of your urban landscape, and so make sure you water them, fertilize them, and you got to water them at the drip line of the trees. Don't water them right at the trunks. You got to water them at the outer edge where the branches end, and that's where the main feeder roots are. So water the best you can, especially some of the big trees. They got roots underneath the roads and everything else, and so just water them the best you can. Okay. And the best thing to do also is don't prune. When you prune a tree, it weeps a bit of sap and attracts the beetle, that carries the Dutch elm disease.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because some people, everyone has probably in this city heard of Dutch elm disease, but never really bothered to understand what causes the damage. So it is the beetle, and that's why, bringing in wood is not recommended either. But maybe just a little more on what the beetle does.
Yeah, the beetle, what it does is it carries the fungus on the back of them. And they have these beetles. You might have a 1-inch by 1-inch. This is how small the beetles are. The 1-inch by 1-inch piece of bark, it might have over 200 beetles in it. Okay, that's how small the beetles are. So you got to make sure you don't do any trimming and don't store elm firewood. It's just a nesting area for those elm beetles, and so don't do that and don't prune them.
Okay,
and that's very important. And keep your trees healthy, because the last thing the insects go after is a stressed tree. So
good to know.
Good to know to have that. Keep them healthy.
All right. Garden Talk host Rick Van Dyvendyk. He's back Sunday morning for 2 hours, starting at 9, but not done yet. Keeping trees healthy is important by fertilizing, deep watering. That's good to know. What other items should we be aware of? A lot of our plants are probably a little heat stressed. What do you want to remind people this weekend of?
Oh, everybody's got their pots right now, and because of the heat, they're watering their pots, their flower pots, their vegetable pots, whatever. And to make sure that you put a slow-release fertilizer, and then at least once a week, supplement them with another fertilizer. With vegetables, use a vegetable fertilizer. If you just have flowers, using a 20-20-20 or something like that once a week, they're growing like crazy. Those plants are hungry in those pots. And just making sure that you do that. And also, if you've got vegetables, like tomatoes and cucumbers, consistent watering is huge. If you go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, you're going to get what we call blossom end rot, and which is where your tomatoes will turn brown or black at the ends. So consistent watering, keeping the moisture, which is hard when you go to work. It's hot during the day and you come back. So setting up some kind of a system where you can keep them consistently wet, that's important. And then, again, nutrients. Calcium for vegetables is a really big one to keep them healthy as well.
Well, you stress me out with everything I got to do to keep it running, Rick. You really do. Rick Van Dyvendyke, slugs. You wanted to talk about slugs for a moment?
Yeah, slugs. Everybody's phoning about slugs and hostas and even in the vegetable garden. A couple ways you can do that. Put a headlight on at nighttime, go around and do a hunting trip. Pick them. Otherwise, you can use their slug baits. You can put a little piece of plywood, a piece of wood down, put some slug bait. Slugs come out at nighttime. And the slug bait that they all make now is safe for pets. You can put it out there and they'll feed on that. Or you can put a little cottage cheese container buried in the ground, put a little bit of that good beer in the bottom of it, and that attracts them, and they drown in the beer as well.
All right, Rick, I'm out of time, but when's the last time you put a headlight on your forehead when slug hunting at night?
I've done that for a few things. There's a lot of insects that come out at nighttime. You have to scout for them, and you look for them at night.
Okay, somebody's got a creepy neighbor. Mom, he's at it again in the backyard. I'm scared. Garden Talk host Rick Van Dyvendyke. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
Friday, July 4th. You know what that means, stateside. Big party, fireworks. And guess who's up on the stage?
And they say he shall live forever. For he does not do it for money. He does not do it for glory. He does it for his people. He does it for his country. He does it for freedom. The Nathan's famous 4th of July champion of the world.
That hot dog eating Joey Chestnut is going to be at Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest after he was banned last year. Kevin Martell joining me from the 980 CJME newsroom. Do you remember why he was banned last year?
Yeah, because he had a deal with
a plant-based food
company.
Yeah,
I was going to say a non-meat, but yeah, plant-based. So they dropped him last year. I mean, he's always the biggest draw to this eating contest.
And don't you love those intros?
Those intros are why I watch.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Who cares who wins or how many hot dogs they eat? I just want to listen to those intros.
What's his famous competitor? He always goes up. I think he's going up against him.
It used to be a Japanese.
Yeah, I think it still is.
A competitor. Yeah. His name escapes me at the moment. But he's never like, I don't think he's ever beaten Chestnut, at least at this competition, or it's been close. But Chestnut is the favorite. He's always the favorite. He's got the world record. He's the guy to bring down.
Okay, well, 76.
Kobayashi.
That's it. Thank you very much. 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes in 2021 is Joey's own record. And no one's beaten it yet. I doubt he will either, but it'll be curious to watch today. So, yeah, July 4th stateside. Calgary Stampede is on now. I know a few people headed to vacation and enjoy that. And really?
You've never been to the Stampede?
Never.
You told me this off air, and I was shocked, Greg.
I am, too, that I haven't gotten. And you know what? If that's what your summer plan is, shoot me a text with your first or last name, because this morning, just to hear your vacation plan, I'm going to be giving away tickets to Country Thunder and camping. So text me with that information. But no, I never have. I hear it's just like super jam-packed. They're expecting 1.5 million people this year.
Yeah, and it gets really busy. I remember having a donut burger years ago. So you want to talk about wacky fair food. And so one year it was just that. It was like two maple donuts, you know, with a burger in between them. It was good at the time. I won't say what happened after. But,
okay. Hey, quickly, yesterday you got the tornado warning, and we heard it here on 980 CJME.
Well, yeah, so I tuned in at 5 o'clock to listen to Andrew Shepherd's newscast in the afternoon, and he was interrupted by this tornado warning alert, the emergency alert that came down over our airwaves, and it was, for the Carlisle region, kind of in the southeast. And so, of course, we wanted to find out this morning if anything did, in fact, touch. Doesn't sound like it at this time. But nevertheless, EnvironCat tells us wind still got up to about 115 kilometers an hour. Wow. It was reported on the Manitoba side. And so they say it might have you know, just as his kind of tailing out of Saskatchewan might have reached that high, too.
Okay, I got about 20 seconds, but coming up in a minute, you're going to talk about the wildfire situation.
Yeah, we have a little bit more. Active wildfires continue to go up, and we're also hearing from somebody in Beauval who the rest of the community has to leave, has to be evacuated. Well, this person has to stay. We'll tell you why.
Okay, that's right up in about 2 minutes from now at 6:58. Well, a pretty recognizable theme there, Jurassic Park. It is July the 4th, a major long weekend in the U.S., and a lot of Americans, and Canadians for that matter, have been seeking air-conditioned comfort to beat the heat and watch the latest installment of the Jurassic Park franchise. Man, it has hauled in big dollars already, nearly $50 million since it opened up on Wednesday. And they think it's going to rake in $135 million by the end of the weekend here. All that dino carnage doesn't come cheap. Apparently, Universal spent $180 million to make it, plus tens of millions to market it. So is it any good? Our resident movie critic, Brett Buster, just saw it and is here now to review Jurassic World Rebirth.
The theme park owners did experimental work, leaving only the worst ones here.
Survival is a long shot.
Going back seems like a bad idea. Was it? Let's check it out with our resident movie critic, Brett Buster. You saw it. What did you think of Rebirth?
I thought it was okay. It's not the fantastic reinvigoration of this franchise I was hoping for. It is better than the last two, I will say that. I've kind of given up hope entirely on this franchise after the last two. It's fine. You get the requisite, you know, dino action. It all looks very good. There's some fun stuff, but it's a very underwhelming story. And sadly, I think Scarlett Johansson was completely miscast and doesn't work in this movie at all.
Well, let me just go back here. So you had Jurassic World, where the park was overrun by dinosaurs, and the Indominus Rex. I remember that escaping.
Yep.
And then came Fallen Kingdom, where the whole island was destroyed.
Suddenly there's a volcano.
And then Jurassic World Dominion, that was 4 years later, and all the dinos are they're around
running
the planet,
yeah.
And they're trying to find a sanctuary for them. So this latest one is what, now 5 years later from that?
Yeah, so it's basically a mercenary team are heading to the island where they did a bunch of genetic experiments with like the freak dinosaurs, and they basically did the Deep Blue Sea plot where if they take samples from certain dinosaurs, it's going to lead to like a medical breakthrough and save people's hearts. So that's the reason the mercenaries are there. Then there's a family who are sailing nearby, and they run across the Mosasaurus, which is my favorite dinosaur of these new movies, the big underwater one, the massive one. So then they run across the mercenaries who save them. Then they all end up on the island, and it's a fight for survival. I don't know. There's just something missing here.
And isn't it a fact, though, that these movies are always thin on the plot and the acting is always kind of cheesy? We're there for the dinosaurs, Brett. So talk to me about the action.
Well, the action's good. I will say that. The Mosasaurus scene is great. There's a scene in the trailer where the T-Rex is coming after them in a raft, which is taken directly from the first novel. So there's a lot of good stuff there.
Does it look real? Is it pretty cool?
I think so. There's one shot I actually thought that the T-Rex looked like it was 3D coming out of the screen.
Bit of a jump scare or two in the movie?
Yeah, there's some horror to it. You know, yeah. There's like, especially with the monstrous dinosaurs, like there's a decent kill count in the movie. But the problem is, Greg, you know exactly who's going to die.
Of course.
Which then also lets you know who isn't going to die. And therefore, in some of the scenes, there is zero tension because I was just sitting there like, well, none of these people are dying. So
do you think this is the end of the franchise? I do not.
No. Based on the fact
there's theme park rides.
Yeah.
It's never going to die.
The last two weren't great and they both made $1 billion. So, I mean, anything's possible. This apparently is a standalone. Maybe if it does well, they'll bring Scarlett back and they'll do another one. But I think this is going to do very well. I just don't know if it'll hit $1 billion like the last couple because it is kind of underwhelming.
It doesn't really matter. It's going to be big business because so many kids out there like dinosaurs. And besides, isn't it the perfect place to go stay cool?
Oh, yeah.
Air conditioned comfort in this heat wave.
I agree. And there's, you know what? There was a lot of people there last night. There was a lot of kids. It's a family event. I mean, there is some scary stuff in there. It's people getting eaten by dinosaurs.
Out of 10, you give it a?
I was thinking about this hard. I think I'm going to be generous and give it like a 6 to a 6.5 out of 10.
Well, if it's over 5, it's good enough then.
I guess so. I mean, you'll have fun at the theater.
Love it. Brett Buster, I thank you for your time. anyone interested in where you're looking to fly or even drive for summer vacation. And I'm willing to reward you. Randomly, someone will be chosen after 8 o'clock by Frank, my producer. He puts everyone's name in a hat who enters on our text line at 1-877-300-7275. Inviting you to tell me, what's your summer vacation plan? That's your entry. Make sure you include your first and last name. And you could be winning a pair of tickets to next weekend's Country Thunder in Craven, starring Def Leppard, Jason Aldean, Bailey Zimmerman, and so many more. I'll even throw in the camping. Boy, I just got a text here from Kim, who's in Toronto and on vacation right now. Was at the Blue Jays game last night. They're going to one more tonight. Kim, lucky. Kim Carey from Lumsden, thanks for sharing that. I know someone who's a little jealous of you right now. My next guest who's filling in for Evan Bray. Brett Lux, you there?
I'm here, buddy. I'm not jealous.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been there, though? That was... You know what? I'm not a ball fan. I don't like Major League Baseball. I'm more of a hockey and football fan. But because of you and your excitement yesterday and what's going on here, I actually flipped over from the Stampeder game on TSN and to watch the final moments. That was pretty cool. How are you feeling?
Well, you got to love the Jays. All four of these games against the Yankees, and the Yankees are always like the big nemesis in the American League. You got to beat the Yankees, and the Yankees have really kind of fallen apart late in the season. Just like the Jays, I'm sure they'll have their resurgence at some point here as we get closer to the playoffs. But, man, George Springer is just in a groove like you wouldn't believe. They're all playing really well. But, like, Springer got two more home runs last night, the night before two home runs, one of them a grand slam, and they're now on top of the American League East. They're a game up on both the Yankees and Tampa Bay. And then, like you mentioned, after the Blue Jays game is over, I flip over to get the back end of that CFL game. And how about them Stamps?
Thank you. Yes.
Our Riders are the only undefeated team.
I couldn't believe it. The way the Stampeders just walked away with that one. I like the fact they were trying to drum up some interest, right? They called it the Stampede Bowl because the Calgary Stampede starts tonight. And everyone's wearing cowboy hats. TSM was there live. It's kind of like our Banjo Bowl. I think it's important the CFL does something like that, don't you?
Oh, big time. They've got it. I saw the numbers. I think they said ticket sales for that game last night in Calgary was about 22,000, which I thought, well, that's not a bad number. But I know there's been a lot of people saying, we got some crowd issues around. But I think it'll build. I really do. And the Riders, winning is the best thing you can do to get people in the seats. So I'm counting on a big crowd at Mosaic a week from tonight to take on Calgary.
Yeah, lots of great fun in sports. And speaking of the Calgary Stampede, I've never been. I was telling our head of news here, Mr. Kevin Martell, and he said, I can't believe Greg Morgan's never been to the Stampede. I don't know why. Have you? The experience, they say, is one of a kind.
Oh, yeah. I worked in Calgary in radio back in the mid-70s. It was a few less people in Calgary back in those days. But it was a hoot. They've got the big parade, which is always a blast in Calgary today. And, yeah, it's a fun run. I haven't been to it for a number of years, but I can say I have been there, yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. Loux, you're filling in here for Evan Bray, and I know you got Saskatchewan's top doc dropping by later, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. And it's interesting. We all want to think COVID is now kind of like a cold, and it's the way of the world nowadays. But there's this new strain of COVID that's going around. Want to talk to Dr. Shahab about that? I think my wife might have had it because apparently one of the common symptoms is razor blade throat, and I know my wife had painful for days, sore throat. The thing is now I don't even know if you can find a test kit anywhere to find out if you might be infected with COVID. But we'll talk that and also measles and also talk about the Healthy Beaches program with Dr. Shahab when he comes in after 9 this morning.
And how about a new recipe from Belton Johnson? What else?
Well, speaking of Belton, he's on a bit of a theme. Last week, there was jalapenos involved in his recipe, and he's got jalapenos involved. So I'm thinking in the spirit of Joey Chestnut down in the States on their July 4th and the hot dog eating, maybe we could convince Belton he should do an eating contest with these jalapenos.
Why just him? Why not against you?
Right.
76 hot dogs, I think, is Joey's record. So maybe 76 meatballs for you. All right.
I can't see that happening, man.
You have a great weekend, Brett. Nice talking to you, and look forward to the show today at 8:30.
Thanks, Greg.
Brett Lux.